You're listening to This is Yoga Therapy. I'm your host, Michelle Lawrence, and I've had the opportunity to interview many of those who are making a difference at the intersections of yoga and health. And I'm here to share with you their stories and conversations. Thanks for listening.
So good afternoon or good evening, everyone, depending upon where you are. Maybe you're listening to this recording, but my name is Michelle Lawrence, and I'm the director of Inner Peace Yoga Therapy. And I'm here today to talk with three of our recent yoga therapy certification graduates. So they are alumni now, and they're going to share a little bit about not only what it was like for them in the training itself and why they chose Inner Peace Yoga Therapy for their training, but what their work looks like as a yoga therapist and how they have integrated it or have plans to integrate it, what they're doing in the world. I think that could be really helpful, particularly for students who are interested in doing a yoga therapy training, but don't really have a good handle on what it might look like. So thanks so much for joining me today. So the three panelists that are here, and you can just kind of wave or raise your hand for the others when I introduce you. So we have Lisa Seeger, and she is in Michigan, and she'll be sharing a little bit about herself and her work, not only as a yoga therapist, but as an RN, because she is that too. And also Sherry Schwartz is here. Sherry's up in Fort Collins, Colorado, also recently completed her 800 hours. And Sherry's going to talk a bit about what kind of work she does and what the training experience was like for her too. And then finally, we have Sarah Augustine, and Sarah lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And she too recently finished, all three of these ladies finished their 800 hours within the last 6 months. And Sarah's going to share a bit about her perspective as well, what she's doing and how that's going for her. So thanks so much for joining. And really, it's an opportunity for those who are listening today too to ask questions. So I'll have a conversation with each of the three of our panelists today. And then as we wrap up, feel free to use the raise hand feature, or put your questions in the chat, and let's interact a bit. Ask your questions to either myself or the panelists too. So I'm going to talk with Sherry first. And the questions I have for Sherry today are, why did you choose Inner Peace for your training, Sherry? And how are you bringing your yoga therapy into the work that you're currently doing?
Thanks so much, Michelle, for this opportunity. This has been an amazing journey. And starting with just, you know, trying to pick a yoga therapy program, I spent some time online doing, you know, a lot of research about different programs out there. All the way from, I know there's a couple of like master's programs, pretty methodical about that kind of thing. And I looked at like pros and cons of more of a Western based versus a more of an Eastern based type program. And when I kind of settled on my top three or four choices, you were one of them. And I think having the initial talk with you about the program was really what sealed the deal for me, because not only did I feel like you had a really balanced program that kind of like honors both sides of everything, but you also just seemed very balanced, very grounded. And that just is really reflected in the other teachers that you choose for the program. I also really liked that it was well established. It's been around for a long time. And really my first introduction to yoga therapy, like that this is actually a thing, was your podcast. And I listened to several of those before even thinking like, oh, I could actually go this route. And I want to go this route. And now I'm so grateful that I did. And even with, you know, the online platform, it really worked very well. It was a very nice option. I mean, at the time it wasn't an option because of COVID. It was what was being done, was the online virtual classes. And actually now I just started going back and listening to the recordings. So that's actually really beneficial to have that. I'm relearning and learning things that I'm like, man, my brain did not catch that the first go around. So that's been really good. I quit my job, my very low paying, high stress job at a school last year, and started working at a PT office. And I work with people one-on-one there. I don't really get many referrals from the PTs. I think that I've heard from other yoga therapists, as well as other people in like holistic wellness circles, that they have a hard time getting referrals from PTs or others. I mean, not always, but I went into it being hopeful, but that hasn't really panned out. So most of my clients have come through either my own contacts, word of mouth, through my yoga classes that I teach. I did all of my mentorships that way. And then now, as officially certified AYT, I am able to, you know, work in that role officially. And I have about 9 to 12 clients a week right now. So that's going pretty well. I'd like it to be just a little bit more, but it's okay. And I also teach yoga at a studio in town. So a couple of different classes. And like, I've been doing it a little bit, but now I'm like really trying to craft each of my classes to be a little bit like a yoga therapy type of a session. That's it generalized for the class. And so that's one way I'm using it. And then I also teach adaptive chair yoga to people with Parkinson's, MS, TBI, and stroke. And I've been doing that for about 5 years. So the lady that I do that with, we are finally just now getting back in person since COVID, very excited. But we've been meeting 3 days a week throughout this whole time. So my elective that I chose for this program was gentle somatic yoga. And mostly because I found when I first learned about that, it really applied to this population that I'm working with. And so it was like a really cool opportunity to just bring that in with my certification and be able to use not only gentle somatic yoga, but a lot of things that I've learned in yoga therapy with this group, both in our group classes and one-on-one with some of them too. So those are kind of the ways I'm using this. And I am like living the dream as full-time yoga instructor, yoga therapist, and kind of have these three different avenues of piecing it all together to live and thrive too, because I feel like I'm truly doing what my purpose is, and I just love it so much. And I will say that probably the main thing that keeps coming back, and I learned a lot about this throughout our program, is how to hold space for people. And I'm still not sure what my niche is or what that will end up being. I mean, definitely with the adaptive yoga, but I love the yoga therapy for grief. I did not expect that. That wasn't something I was, you know, before I took those courses, I had no concept of that. And that's probably yoga therapy for grief and yoga therapy for chronic pain have been my two favorite kind of avenues of working with people. And I've had people come to me for several different things. And it seems like people kind of gravitate eventually to one of those things, because many, many people have chronic pain, and most all of us have to deal with grief at some point. So yeah, I think that's about it.
That's so great, Sherry. Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you had a particular niche or focus area, but you answered that. And I think it's common that I see students go through the training kind of surprised that they like a certain subject matter or work with certain population, that they're drawn to it. They didn't expect it. So I'm hearing that from you too. And one of the things about our program is that it does kind of expose you to a variety of different modalities so that you can see how yoga therapy plays out in a variety of contexts, and students get that level of experience and then have the opportunity to work with those populations through the mentorships too. But it's so great to see you, Sherry, and to hear about what you're doing. And you're doing a lot. I'm impressed. Yeah. And all the best to you. It's really been a delight to have you in our program. And I just fully expect you to continue to grow and thrive in the work that you're doing and that you've been called to do. So if anybody has questions for Sherry, save them for now, and we'll circle back at the end. You're welcome to put in the chat, and we can bring them forward when we get to the Q&A period at the end here. Next up, I'm going to move to Sarah Augustine, and have a little chat with her about what she's up to now. So she has completed her certification at the 800-hour level as well. Love to hear what she's been up to or what she's doing now, and really how the training at Inner Peace has helped her prepare. How has it helped you prepare, Sarah?
Yes, thank you for having me. I was writing down my notes while Lisa was speaking, as per usual, because there's always good points of reflection whenever we come together as community, thinking about like, yes, what was that impact on me? How does that resonate with what I'm doing? I chose Inner Peace because I had the unique privilege, I call it, of knowing someone very dear to me in the yoga therapy community in Minneapolis that went through the program several years before I had even considered it. So I was able to sit down with her, look through her training manual, kind of get an idea of what was offered. One of the things that piqued my interest about this particular structure and the curriculum that Michelle has put together is the fact that I kind of describe it like the yoga buffet. There's a little bit of everything for everyone. Sometimes with trainings in the yoga world, you all might know this, they become very lineage specific, which I think has value and I think it's wonderful. But for me, in the way that I learn and how I want to make an impact, I want to be able to learn from many different people so I can start to see what's going to stick. Some of the things that stuck out to me when I was looking through these materials were words like functional and pain care and Ayurveda and grief. So I liked knowing that I was going into a program where I had the opportunity to learn from new people, learn subjects maybe I was interested in but didn't know a lot about, and that I also had the ability to seek further resources in those topics. So once you finish that yoga buffet, you get to go on and choose, what does my extracurricular look like? Do I want to study more with grief? Do I want to do more with soma? Do I want to do more with functional yoga therapy? I really like that there's that a la carte option, because sometimes we're not given that choice. So I think Inner Peace and how Michelle has developed this curriculum really lives by the tenets of yoga therapy, allowing the practitioner or the individual to have discernment and agency. So to me, that was huge. And I felt that way from day one. I feel that way now. I will probably always feel that way. I appreciate that I was able to find a program and individualize it with me within those parameters. So what I'm doing now, and why, in addition to Inner Peace, I've taught alignment yoga for a number of years. And it's really important to me that I found a program that kind of met me where I was at, but in terms of philosophies. And this program does that. But why I thought yoga therapy was the next step for me after 15-ish years in alignment was I started seeing the people that were showing up to class. To Lisa's point, piggybacking on that a little bit, people are in pain. People have grief. People want direction. And we're not always given those tools as yoga teachers, right? And this is specific to asana classes, because I don't teach a lot of asana classes anymore, but at the time I was. And I wanted to find a way to better serve those individuals. So through this program, I've been able to show up better. One of the things I'm most proud of is I learned how to be a better listener. To me, that's a life skill that goes beyond yoga therapy. That's something that helps me be a better wife. It helps me be a better friend, family member, all of these things. So that's one of the things I'm most proud of, is I learned this really valuable life skill. I actually have the unique, I'm going to call it ability. So because of my background as alignment teacher, I've naturally have a lot of doctors that come to my class. So I do get a lot of referrals. I printed those little pads from IOIT. I have a medical doctor that primarily works with people in chronic pain. When she's given them the clearance and they're trying to wean themselves from opioids, she will send them to me. I have a therapist that works with folks with spinal injuries. When they've given them the clearance, they'll send their people to me. And then I have a PT. This one's fun to me. I like feet a lot, and I've done some extracurricular work just on my own, developing programs, helping people that have pain in their feet. I have a PT that works for TRIA in this area. Gosh, she's like the director of orthopedics at this point. She's done it for 18 years. She'll refer people to me that want ongoing support for foot care. So that's kind of my niche. I stay very much on the physical. This is how we're going to do it. This is what the research says. What surprises me, and what is another thing that I'm incredibly proud of myself, is I'm now able to incorporate things like Ayurveda or things like mantra and mudra and pranayama in a way that feels authentic to me, that can support this very tangible thing. Like, yes, you need to work on your abduction of your fifth metatarsal, right? I think there's a place for both of them. And I think it's been really fun watching these people, because you have to keep in mind, a lot of these patients, clients to me, they're patients, this isn't their first rodeo. I might be the third or fourth person they've seen. It's been really cool watching them go, oh, I just love that we start with breath. Or, oh, I just love that we start with real deep connection. And, you know, you're not just sitting there telling me all of the things that are wrong with me. Yoga therapy is very much a co-collaboration, and it very much is client-centric. So these are really important values to me. I wouldn't be able to do this if I didn't find this program. I truly feel that Michelle excels at this, because I know other people that have done other yoga therapy programs. And one of the things they say is like, gosh, I wish we would have had more of that direction with how to structure sessions, or, oh, I really wish we would have had more opportunities to practice listening to one another. So boy, I'm discursive in nature. I hope that I made a full circle. Yes, I love the program. I'm really proud of what I've accomplished in a short amount of time. I feel incredibly fortunate to work in a medical capacity, if you will. I know that's not everyone's experience. I have done some really meaningful work, and I believe a lot of that is attributed to the fact of the confidence that I gained going through this program.
Oh, that's so great, Sarah. It's so wonderful for me to hear this from you and from Sherry too. And I feel so incredibly proud in a way, although like you've done a ton of work to get to this point, right? And I'm just so grateful that I was able to support you in the way that I was along the way. Question for you, Sarah, before we move on. Where are you doing your work? Are you doing it in the studio, at home, at the medical clinic? Yeah, here.
Yeah. So I have a couple options for folks, primarily if they're, I have a dog. So that's always a conversation point. So here's another fun thing to consider. Animals can be incredibly therapeutic. And I know we're shaking our heads. You agree. I am astonished how healing it is for people, especially this is back to the grief practicum in particular. Having my sweet little Cocker Spaniel sitting next to someone and them petting her, it took some of the attention. This is how I perceived it, right? I think it takes some of the attention away from them. They're able to transfuse some of that energy into the dog where they can speak a little bit clearer. So yeah, folks are comfortable with it. I see them here. If they're not, if they're allergic to dogs, I have a space that I can rent. Yeah. And I'm currently talking with one of the doctors that refers her patients to me about kind of collaborating on a workspace. But for now, my basement works really good. And I use that within reason, because it is challenging and can be a little scary to invite people into your home. So I do vet folks, and I make sure we're really clear on boundaries, and I make sure all of my safety precautions are in place. Hasn't been an issue for me. If it ever feels like it's unsafe, then I rent a space, and around here, $25 for 90 minutes is pretty standard, which I think is very reasonable.
That's great to know, Sarah. And yeah, I was nodding my head about the therapeutic nature of pets and dogs, and mine is over here somewhere. There she is. Yeah. For those of you who are here on the Zoom today, you could see that. So thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing all that. Super inspiring. And Lisa, I'm going to round out our conversation with you today. So I'd love to hear your perspective in terms of yoga therapy and the medical model a bit. So how can you bring what you're doing or what you want to do as a yoga therapist into that medical model as a nurse? Are you able to integrate it, or do you have plans to, or Do you see them as separate? So let us know and share anything else that you think might be helpful for our listeners too. Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. This is really great and so great to hear what everybody's doing and how they're using all of the tools that they've learned. So I've been a nurse for 27 years. And when I decided to get into a yoga therapy program, I was kind of at a point where a lot of my friends were going on for a master's degree. I have a bachelor's degree. And I thought, I don't really want a master's degree in nursing, but I do want to do something else. So like Sherry, I found some actual master's programs for yoga therapy and looked around and played around with those ideas, but really just kind of fell in love with Inner Peace, just looking at the curriculum and everything that was offered, and just decided to go that direction, not really knowing how I might integrate it into what I'm doing now, but just really feeling like it was something that I should do, even if it was really just ended up being for my own personal growth, which it definitely has had an impact on that as well. So probably about the time we finished Foundations, I started playing around with how can I bring this into the medical community separate from what I'm doing. When I see clients, I kind of found that I've been teaching them pranayama for years. I just didn't really know the name of it until I became a yoga teacher. So a lot of the principles I'd already been using just was able to enhance them a bit. But how could I actually bring this into the facility that I work at? And I'm in a small community. It was a small hospital. Over the last 2 years, two or three, we've had two mergers that were now part of the largest healthcare system in Michigan, which has helped. So when I first started bringing this in right after Foundations, everybody loved the ideas. I had modified, Joseph LePage had kind of gifted us all a cardiac program, a 12-week cardiac program that he does. And I kind of modified that a little bit and started shopping that around, if you will, to our cardiac rehab and really anyone who would listen. And everybody loved the idea, but nobody wanted to fund the idea. You know, nobody could understand how was I going to get paid to do this. So that was a little bit, you know, I kept hitting roadblocks. And after this last merger, that's probably been about 6 months ago, we changed our name to Corewell Health. And I thought, well, any medical facility calling themselves Corewell has to have an integrative component to it. So it so happens that I just by chance found out that we had a community wellness center, which I did not even realize we had. And one of the nurses who used to be a manager where I in my department was volunteering her time as a nurse. And so I got in touch with her and said, could I volunteer my time as a yoga teacher? Just maybe do a community class for free. And they didn't have the space, but she then got me in touch with somebody. Turns out we're developing this 2,200 square foot integrative health center. So I'm like, yes, finally. So it's still in development, the new building, but I'm now part of that and hoping to bring in yoga therapy as an offering in that integrative health center. It's also, we're doing a pilot program right now that we're hoping to bring specifically to postnatal moms who've been identified with a cardiac issue, specifically hypertension, and do a program with them that includes two yoga therapy sessions, a massage session, two healthful cooking sessions, and some aromatherapy. So it's a 10-week program ultimately is where it's headed. And we're just piloting that. We just actually had the first session 2 weeks ago. So we're starting to bring that. I haven't even had my turn yet, but it's collaborating with a lot of other more holistic people and trying to integrate that into how can we make this more medical and this more holistic or this more allopathic? And how can we bring these things together and really make a well-rounded patient or client? So I'm super excited about that. On a separate level, away from that, I have a small space that I rent from a chiropractor, and I've been trying to build a private practice there. I just think my background in nursing, I feel like it's really been a benefit to me to feel comfortable meeting with clients, assessing clients, doing postural type assessments on them, and helping to just kind of integrate those two things. Again, you know, if I'm seeing them for pain, you know, how can I integrate both my medical background and my yoga background and really look at them in that more whole, well-rounded way that I can see them. I don't know if I'm articulating that right, but so yeah, so I'm hoping that this really continues to grow in this community. I have met one other yoga therapist in my area. So again, it's a very small area. So I'm super excited. She has finished a level one in the program that she's doing. And so we're collaborating a little bit, and I'm hoping that we can really work together to kind of grow something in this integrative health area.
That's so amazing, Lisa. Really exciting. I feel like anyone that's coming in to yoga therapy now as a student or is curious about getting involved and getting certified as a yoga therapist, like your options are growing every day based on things like Lisa and Sarah and Sherry have just described. Like every time I turn around, I feel like somebody else is getting a job somewhere or has a new inroad somewhere or is building a practice, putting into place. So I think that's really encouraging and really exciting. And I don't feel like I could say that with as much confidence 4 or 5 years ago, for example. It's just so amazing. And I love that you were able to take what Joseph LePage offered all of us in terms of the Healthy Heart program that he wants us to take and utilize, like as a template to use in the medical model, that was helpful for you there. I also know, just for your information, Lisa and others too, that we have a student who's doing some postnatal work and research, I think, in the University of Washington. So it could be a really great data point as you continue to build out what you're doing. And just also another recent graduate who got a job recently in Michigan at a hospital working as a yoga therapist. So these are just some other examples above and beyond what you've heard from the three women here today about really the amazing and exciting things that they're doing. And once again, like, I just feel so happy and so proud and excited for you all and excited for this profession as well. So I'm going to just see if anybody listening in has any questions for me or the panelists today. So I'm going to give it just a moment and feel free to put that in the chat. Feel free to use the raise hand feature. And Sarah and Sherry, you're welcome to add any additional comments that came to you as the others were speaking too. Any questions, anyone?
Lisa, I'd love to connect with you on how that's going. I would love to develop Joseph's plan here in our cardiac rehab. I have some contacts there. And yeah, I'd love to connect with you more on that.
Yeah, that would be great. Like I said, I modified it for specifically a cardiac program is what I was looking at. The interesting thing is the medical director of the Integrative Health Center is a cardiologist. So when we realized we were going to focus towards postnatal, then I was able to modify it even more and say, I have the bones of this. And really, I think if you have the bones of that, you can adapt it to so many things. So it's just, that was just such a wonderful piece among so many other wonderful pieces that, you know, we learned, but that was just such a wonderful gift from Joseph to be able to have that skeleton or that structure and then, you know, really make it into your passion, whatever area you're really looking at, you can really adapt that.
Great. I'm seeing a question in the chat from Sabina. And the question is, what does a session look and feel like? And so I don't know if you have that intended for a specific panelist or just sort of maybe a couple. Maybe Sarah, you'd like to share what your session looks like. Maybe all three of you share a little bit about what a session looks like. Does that sound like a good plan?
I can start if that's okay. This is Sarah speaking. It depends, Savine. It really depends. The structure that we were taught, and you learned this in your very first weekend with Michelle, is you have an intake session. That intake session lives with the assumption that you've collected some data beforehand. So I send out a Google Drive form for them to fill out so I can get an idea of what are their goals. I want to hear from their perspective what they think is going on, because it's usually really interesting what they write on paper versus who shows up. So I want to get some of that information beforehand. Given what I said earlier, I work with a lot of folks that have had surgeries, have spinal fusions, might have very specific structural things going on. This allows me enough time to research. So I have a good idea of, okay, they're on this medication. This is what surgery they've had. These may be limitations that we're up against. So part of it is you gather information. Then you're going to meet. I always like to start with some sort of grounding. So whether it's coming together, are you comfortable sitting? Would you rather lie down? I think sometimes that takes the pressure off to help people feel comfortable. Then I go directly into their intake session. I know there's some sort of an assessment. I kind of change my strategy depending on why they're there. I kind of moved away from always doing a postural assessment because I don't always think it's necessary. And I've learned that sometimes it can make people feel really picked on or like, oh, they're just looking at everything. So I use my judgment there. We'll typically do a short practice. That's kind of how I use my assessment time. Like, okay, Sabine, what does it feel like if you were to rotate your arm? Notice your breath. What's going on? Do you notice pain? I make marks of all of these things. And then when it comes time to discuss these assessments or these exercises we've done, I ask them, is this something that you actually want to do? Do you see yourself doing this? So after the first session, I've collected a bunch of information. I've gotten to know the person. I've seen them move a little bit. I can usually send them home with a very short, succinct plan, usually like 1 to 3 things. Okay, I'm going to take this information. I'm going to develop a plan that meets your goals, that meets your time expectations. During that time, I'm going to give you these 3 things to work on. I just want you to notice how you feel after you do them. So I try to keep it close to their goals. I give them definitely what they want. I definitely give them what they need, but it's all starts from that first initial intake to me. That is, I think, the most important part of that whole process is asking the right questions to get the right information, because people don't always like talking about themselves. And if it was just an in-person meeting, I think I would miss a lot of those clues.
Thank you for that, Sarah. Sherry or Lisa, do you want to go next?
I totally agree with everything Sarah said. I would also add that just because I do have some clients that I work on specifically with grief. And so sometimes we're not doing a lot of physical type assessments. And I kind of touched on this. I didn't kind of come around back around to it, but just this concept of holding space for a person. And that was some of my favorite experiences in our training was, I think it was with Antonio in our grief module, who had us literally, we were paired up and listening to the other person's story. And I had to sit there with zero expression, zero, like not nodding your head. Like it was just this experience of learning to hold space without judgment and without reaction. And so I think a lot of that comes into play. And I feel very, very equipped from my training. Like I have a lot of tools and techniques that even in the moment, sometimes, I come with a plan based on the person's goals and everything. But then in the moment, sometimes things shift or take a different turn or they need something different than what was anticipated. So I feel like, it's partially intuitive and partially from training that I'm able to bring in, whether it's pranayama, whether it's some yoga nidra, guided meditation that the person might need in that moment. So
thanks, Sherry. Lisa, you want to add anything as well?
Sure. I'll just say I totally agree with everything that's been said, just to point out that when we say, I have this Google Doc intake, because that's also how I do it, just to know that Michelle has a template for you and Antonio has a template and Maria. So you can take all of these different, you're not just, making up an intake form. You can take all of these different things and tailor it to how you want to approach your clients. And which is what I've done. I took all of those wonderful resources and came up. And this was a lot of trial and error. It wasn't like I walked into my first mentorship and said, I've got this. It was a lot of redoing the forms, but you have all of the tools to put that together. One of the things that I do, always the grounding, let's sit and take a few breaths together. And then I'll say, this is after your intake assessment. So you've given them a couple of things to take home. You have an idea where you're going. And I'll always say, how did it go? what do you want to do today? And a lot of times they'll say, I really loved this. Could we keep building on this? Or they may just be very open and say, whatever, you know, I'm open to anything. And then you can kind of move forward with your plan. But I always ask that question, you know, what resonated with you and what do you want to do today? What are you expecting from this session? And then we can really move forward. Because I think maybe it was Sarah who said, it has to be a collaboration with your client. If you're going in there and saying, I need you to do A, B, and C, it's never going to work. You have to be able to say, this is what I can offer you, but you're really leading the way here. So I think that's really important.
Super helpful. Thank you. Any other questions?
Great. Michelle,
yeah.
Sorry. I just wanted Sherry. To put a little plug in for SequenceWiz. I started using that right at the beginning and I love it. I love mm-hmm. it. All of my session notes are on there. All my intake assessments, pain assessments, grief, like all of the forms I ever want to send out to anybody, my policies, procedures, et cetera, are all on there. It's been working really, really well for me.
That's great. Yeah.
I just have one quick thing to add. I think it's important to know too, because this was a little confusing for me at the start because I was a yoga teacher and I'm going to yoga therapy. A lot of where I'm gravitating towards is anxiety, depression, and grief. And there's not a ton of asana in there. So I just want to, you know, I think we think yoga, we must be doing a lot of movement practice. And while there is maybe the joint freeing series or some really somatic things like Sherry is using, there's not always a lot of, let's do some traditional, what we would consider yoga. There's the pranayama and there is the mantra and the mudra. So it's not structured like a yoga class in that you're going to breathe and then move and then do shavasana. You know, you really are going to take the components that really matter to your patient or your client, sorry, at that moment.
That's helpful. And I mean, so many of us are familiar, our orientation often to yoga is what a yoga class is like. And I think it's helpful to let folks know that a yoga therapy session is not really like a yoga class. And the toolbox is broader often and maybe not as focused on the asana practice. But of course, it depends. And that's like the most frequent answer in yoga therapy. And the reason why that's the most frequent answer is because it's so client-centric and client-different. Everybody might need something different, and therefore it depends. I did see the question in the chat about anybody doing this online. And yeah, Sherry and Sarah are. I'm not sure if you are too, Lisa, but many of our students are. And this was really spurred on by the pandemic, but has now really showed some staying power. Like, this is a modality that can be delivered virtually and I think can really reach people. I think it's actually contributed to the advancement of our profession in a way, the fact that we're able to reach more people through the virtual platform or the virtual model. And then this last question, and maybe a couple of you or all three of you would like to speak to this, but the biggest rewards of being a yoga therapist and the biggest challenges.
I can say that the biggest reward for me is when you can see, you know, specifically I have a grief patient or somebody with anxiety or even somebody with pain where I've had some referrals from physical therapists where they're here for pain, but we're really getting a little bit deeper and doing, you know, some more mindfulness and more sensation based. And so really seeing them say or hearing them say, I feel so much better today. Or I used that, you know, I started to feel my anxiety level going up and I used that breathing that you showed me and it really helped. And it's just nice to see people embracing and knowing that a tool that you offered them really resonated with them and it was able to have an impact on their life. And then for me, the most challenging is I have had a couple of clients. They love the intake session. They're so ready. And then I don't hear from them again. And for me, I worry, like, are they okay? Are they using any of, you know, because I always try to send them away with a couple of tools. Are they using these tools? Should I reach out to them and see if they want to do something? And so for me, it's challenging to let them go and know that I opened the door, they stepped through it, and then they wanted to take a pause, and that's okay. So it's hard for me to let them go without wondering if I should reach out, if I should encourage them to come back, and not take that personally too, I think is kind of hard for us to say, did I do something wrong? and letting that, even that go and know that it's just kind of their free will, whether they want to move forward or not.
That's great, Lisa. And it's, you know, it's a common experience, I'd have to say, amongst yoga therapists, probably other providers too, that you encounter those clients who only show up the one time, right? And we wonder, and that is a challenge, right? And it's so true that you can actually see, you can see this working. You can see that in the expression on the face, the change of energy in the eyes or whatever it might be, their ability to do things with more ease that they weren't able to do before. What about you, Sarah or Sherry? Anything else you want to add? Challenges?
I can add some things. I mean, the rewards are kind of endless, and I like what I do a lot. I feel really fortunate to get to do it. Specifically, I have helped some folks that have scoliosis. I have a few clients with scoliosis. They've been in and out of many different medical professions. They've seen a number of different specialists and never really found anything that seemed to help them. So it feels really good to work with those people, to actually ask them what their goals are. I think when the medical model sometimes looks at something, they go, oh, they have scoliosis. This is what we're going to do. It's not really like, well, what do you want to do? And I think what I like about that is you realize their goals usually aren't that big. No one comes to me and says, well, I really want you to straighten my spine. It's like, I really want to breathe better, or I want to be able to do this without this happening. So I think I'll go back to what makes a session or how I structure a session. It's asking the right questions and really understanding what their goals are and then always bringing it back to those goals. I always upfront say we're meeting for 3 sessions, so I know that I get to see them again. I've had no issue with that. So that could be a really good way to bridge that commitment gap. The challenges that I've run into are insurance hesitations from folks. They'll ask, oh, is yoga therapy covered by insurance? I'm like, no, it's not. They're like, hey, you're really great. I think I'm going to see my PT because that's covered. Totally. That's fine. On that sort of piggybacking, there's not a lot of understanding of what yoga therapy is. And that can be a challenge, right? People are like, oh, so we do down dog. Well, no. And maybe if that's your goal. So there's a lot of education. Be prepared to talk a lot about it. I sort of wrote out like what I say to people just so I have that information on hand, and it feels like it's authentic and it comes from me, because at the end of the day, we all practice under this umbrella, but it has to be specific to your approach. So I know as Sarah Augustine how I approach yoga therapy, and I want to make sure anyone that comes in contact with me also gets that as well. So there's a lot of rewards. There are some challenges, but they're not enough to hinder what I'm doing. I think yoga therapy as a profession is moving towards, I just saw recently in March, IAYT filed a motion to get a taxonomy code. Is that correct? Yeah, this is huge. So I do think some of those things will be in the past, maybe in the next year or so, maybe 5 years even, but just to know that we're moving in that direction is really exciting, because I think the access point goes up.
That's great. Sherry, you want to add?
Yeah, a lot of those things I've also experienced. I'll just add a little story of one client. I've seen it in, I would say, 2 or 3 of my clients who I've been working with for over a year. And just to use this one kind of, I'm not going to get too specific, but like on grief originally, but then, you know, kind of moves into other things like anxiety, chronic pain, pain shifting around, and other goals, you know, over the course of a year, going through all these ups and downs with them, and really trying to hold space for whatever they need in the moment. And so now, after working with a few people, but this person, I just have seen her blossom. And it's not just our sessions together. So she's doing a lot of work, but now she's starting her own book group, women's group on a book, I think it's called Wisdom of Anxiety. And she's just on fire, you know, like she's just, yeah, just, I think that I love my individual daily sessions with people. And like every single day I say to my partner, I cannot believe I get to do this. But then, you know, this, now that I've been working with a couple of people for over a year, just seeing that long-term, I mean, this is a year, you know, so 10 years out, then I'll think 1 year is short-term, but just starting to see changes and how people start to take things on for themselves. And that's what we're hoping for.
So great. I really enjoyed speaking with each of you. The questions were great too, and just really encouraged by what's happening out there. And you three are really great examples of that and really great inspiration for others who might be listening today. Not sure if anybody else has a question before we wrap up. I'll give it a moment to see.
It looks like Emily put one in the chat.
Ah, great. I didn't see that. Aha. If you had to describe what you do as a yoga therapist in 1 to 3 sentences, what would you say? Do you want to answer that, Sarah?
The reason I knew it was there because I was sitting there trying to formulate my answer.
I'm so glad you saw it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we always meet people where they're at. So as a yoga therapist, I meet people where they're at. I show up in a way that is authentic and available for people so that I can help them achieve their goals to move towards a life where they get to do things that they love. Because at the end of the day, I teach life skills. I'm not teaching fancy things. I'm simply helping people live better lives.
That's great, Sarah. Sherry or Lisa, do you want to give it a try too?
Yeah, this is a hard one. I did not see the questions, but it is something I have to talk to people about, you know, on day-to-day basis. Usually I say something like, I work with people one-on-one to meet their health and well-being goals. And that could be anything from sleep, insomnia, to anxiety, grief, chronic pain, injury, rehab, whatever the goal is to have a healthier life. Like Sarah said, where you get to do what you want to do.
Thanks, Sherry. Lisa?
I'll just add to that, you know, if people ask what I do, I say I use yoga therapy to help people heal or to help people have better health. And I think that it's really, that's a broad statement and a lot of people still don't understand it, but that's kind of my general go-to. And then if they have more questions, you know, like, well, how would you help somebody with low back pain? You know, that opens the door to, well, let me tell you how I would do that. And then you can really get into some of the specifics. But I think it's just a really great tool to help people remember that they're whole. And that's what we do. Hopefully that's what we do.
Great question, Emily. Great answers, everybody. It's been a delight to be here with you all today. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing out what you do. And I look forward to being in touch. Bye for now.
If you'd like to learn more about who we are and what we do, visit us at innerpeaceyogatherapy.com.